KZH 910 AM W245 CT Hayward. Always streaming on the Civic
ABC
Media
News,
app.
I'm Justin Finch. Midnight tonight, the deadline for the United Auto Workers and Detroit's Big Three automakers to get a deal or a strike. The UAW wants pay increases, pensions, and benefits for new hires, and a four-day work week. The automakers say they're in a financial bind. Pennsylvania prison escapee Danilo Cavalcante back behind bars after finally being captured Wednesday after 13 days on the run.
They think he was in the creek over there, you know, hanging out on Sunday night. That was freaky. Yeah, really freaky.
Neighbor Sarah Black in Chester County, Pennsylvania, where Cavalcante was finally caught. Meantime, there's another escapee who's still on the run in the Washington, D.C. area. 30-year-old Christopher Haynes taking off a week ago from police custody at George Washington University Hospital. He had been arrested on murder charges for an August shooting in the district. This is ABC News. The Kremlin now saying Russian President Vladimir Putin will visit North Korea just days after his summit with Kim Jong-un. And American officials are sounding the alarm.
From the administration that's offering cluster munitions and depleted uranium shells to Kyiv, the possibility of North Korean ammunition going to the Russian side would be deemed grossly irresponsible. State Department spokesman Matthew Miller.
We have reason to believe they were going to discuss military transfers. That is quite troubling and would potentially be in violation of multiple UN Security Council resolutions.
Moscow counters what it does and its bilateral relations is their business and no one else's. Tom Rivers, ABC News at the Foreign Desk.
And it's free. That luxury cruise ship that got stuck in the waters just off Greenland, getting out of the mud and sand where it was trapped this morning with an assist from a research ship. While the ship was stuck, at least three of the passengers also came down with COVID. Justin Finch, ABC News.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. The new Wisconsin Supreme Court heard arguments in the first criminal case of the new term yesterday. The case involved whether courts should use prior sexual assaults as evidence in sexual assault cases. A lower court ruled against admitting the prior sexual assault cases as evidence. Notably absent from the proceedings was newly elected Supreme Court Justice Janet Protasiewicz, but a member of her staff said he couldn't comment on her absence. Two Western Wisconsin hospitals have combined to create a new health system. According to Becker's Hospital Review, Memorial Medical Center in Ashland and Hayward Area Memorial Hospital and Water's Edge have combined to create a new health system called Tamarack Health. The system will also include a new specialty orthopedic clinic in Superior, Wisconsin. Operations of the hospitals will remain mostly the same, but the new health system could allow them to expand healthcare options. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know what's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Love your hometown? Don't miss the Devil's Advocates radio show on the road for the very first Fall in Love Hometown Tour 2023.
But we're coming to a town near you all across the state of Wisconsin.
Mike and Dom kicking it all off in Wausau this Thursday starting at 4 p.m. Live from Bull Falls Radio, WXCO, 1230 AM, 98.9 FM.
Road trip! With the Devil's Advocates Fall in Love Hometown Tour 2023 on your local Civic Media radio station and the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
All of these things consistently come down to this: willingness of people to give up their agency and the willingness of Donald Trump and those who support him to leverage and abuse people's trust in them to further their own personal power and enrichment.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weeknights at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
100 degrees.
Ramaswamy literally said global climate change, human and affected climate change is a hoax.
Ron DeSantis effectively pivoted on the debate stage, said, I'm not going to answer your damn question because it will expose us as climate change denialists, which puts them in a minority, certainly with younger voters. Young people care about the future of this world, though.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6
on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Lobos, I Got Loaded, and I wanted to play that song because Steve Berlin today celebrating a birthday, born on this date in 1955. Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show on this Thursday morning. We've got 8 minutes after 9 o'clock right now, and 52 degrees in Amory. It is 44 degrees in Richland Center, and the next topic I want to talk about is water. Seems like that's a topic that keeps coming up in this program. What's more important than water? I guess you could say that air is more important, but there are some serious water issues going on in our state, around our state, and the Journal Sentinel has an interesting in-depth article today about the Trempealeau Lakes. Have you ever been to the Trempealeau Lakes? Have you ever tried to do some fishing there? It says here, in the headline, that 50 years ago, the Trempealeau Lakes were pristine. Now, algae carpets their surface. Can they be saved? Well, there is a local group out to save the lakes, if possible. Dateline Trempealeau, it says, when Barry Drazkowski moved his family cabin to the shores of Third Lake in Trempealeau in 1971, the water was crystal clear. Fish abounded, and so did anglers, intent on catching them. He recalled sitting on his front lawn and watching a steady stream of boats motor past. Today, The water is barely visible under thick mats of bright green algae. A few fishers still try their luck, but it's hard for a hook to pierce through. Nearby Second Lake, which has the same problem, looks more like a lawn than a body of water. Locals joke that you could walk your dog across it. Quote, "It's not like it used to be," Draskowski said. "It's changed a lot for us." These two lakes, plus another, First Lake, are part of what's known as the Trempealeau Lakes, located just south of the village of Trempealeau in far western Wisconsin. They've long been a prized natural resource in the region, beloved for fishing and recreation. Though many so-called lakes along the Mississippi River are just languid backwaters that connect to the river, these three are their own entity. They're spring-fed lakes from groundwater that filters down from higher altitudes. And right now, that is a big source of their problems. Those higher grounds are dominated by farmland and excess nitrogen from fertilizer and irrigation systems is leaking through the soil and ending up in the lakes, producing the perfect conditions for algae to bloom. Data from the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources shows that nitrogen levels in Second Lake, for example, have tripled since the 1970s. Draskowski and other residents with a vested interest in improving the lakes are stepping up to try to help them. They formed a nonprofit group called Friends of Lake Trempealeau to convince area farmers to reduce nitrogen use. Bud Hams, who has a summer cottage near the lakes and chairs the group, said participants hope to bolster government efforts, which often lack funding, and demonstrate that the community cares about issues like these. Quote, "There's a vacuum in how these kinds of environmental issues can be addressed," Hams said. "Without grassroots community organizing groups to say, we have a problem here, and bringing people together and finding resources, these problems don't get solved," end quote. The farm fields just above the lakes, a 30-square-mile area known as the Trempealeau Terrace, are owned by about a dozen people and used for cash crops, especially corn. That land has always been agricultural, Draskowski said, but in the 1990s, producers turned to so-called pivot irrigation to maximize crop yields, which groundwater experts say can, in some cases, result in increased nitrogen leaching. The type of soil in the region doesn't help. It's sandy, which allows water and other nutrients to drain through more easily than in other types of soil. Trempealeau lies in one of the more susceptible areas in the state to groundwater nitrogen pollution, said Sean Giblin, a water quality specialist for the Department of Natural Resources who works in the Mississippi River region. And that area isn't alone. Nitrate is the most widespread contaminant of Wisconsin's groundwater, and a 2022 report from the Wisconsin Groundwater Coordinating Council said the contamination is increasing in extent and severity. Dozens of municipal water supply systems have had nitrate levels that exceed safe limits, according to the report, and about 10% of private wells exceed that standard too. In intensely agricultural areas, double or triple that many well samples exceed it, the report says. While some nitrate pollution in groundwater can come from septic systems and lawn fertilizers, an estimated 90% comes from agricultural sources. Repeated complaints about the condition of the three lakes gave rise to a study of their conditions. Giblin collected samples from six spots across each of the lakes during the summer of 2021 to measure nitrogen and phosphorus, along with several other parameters. He presented those results to area residents in early 2022, but as both he and Hams agreed, they didn't need data to know something was wrong. Trying to navigate the lakes to collect samples, Giblin recounted, was like trying to canoe over wet carpet. At the beginning of the study, he even witnessed something that he'd seen only once before in his career, a whiting event, which happens when the pH of a water body is so high that calcium carbonate is produced, turning the water milky white. An overabundance of algae production can raise the pH. He said, quote, "It just shows you how out of sync things are down there," Giblin said. Luckily, the algae in the Trempealeau Lakes is not blue-green algae, which can be toxic to people and pets. Though that is a problem in the nearby Trempealeau National Wildlife Refuge. But it can have other effects on the environment, like depleting oxygen to the point that fish can't survive. And the sick-looking water drives people away from recreating there, a blow for the region's strong outdoor tourism economy. This group, Friends of Trempealeau Lake, it says Friends of Trempealeau Lake's leaders, including Hams and Vice Chair Todd Ondell, are taking a cautious approach to reaching out to farmers to discuss reducing nitrogen. Their aim is to find a way that farmers can cut back on nitrogen use while still producing successful crop yields, starting with those who are already interested in such strategies and then expanding as they build trust. Finger-pointing, Hams argued, not only doesn't work, but it is not fair. He said, quote, "We're not coming into this with any judgmental attitude. We have this problem, and we know that agriculture is one of the sources of the problem, not because anyone has purposely been doing it," end quote. In late August, they met with their first producer, who farms about 3,000 acres of corn, soybeans, alfalfa, and other crops. The farmer spoke about what he's already doing to reduce nitrogen leaching, like cover cropping and applying fertilizer more precisely. He also touched on challenges farmers face, like money to buy costly equipment, complex rules for government conservation programs, and weather unpredictability, among others. 18 minutes after 9 right now. Got to take a break. We'll get back to this after the break. Stick around. You're tuned into the Stu Daniels Show.
Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Brock.
I didn't realize that Tucker Carlson's like hemorrhaging viewers. And I heard yesterday someone was like, "Oh yeah, like no one's actually watching it anymore." I was like, "Oh, yeah, that doesn't really surprise me. It's kind of like Threads."
it was a thing for about 5 minutes.
It was like a week. Everyone was excited, and then they moved on.
Wow, it's like Scott Walker's presidential campaign. It's a big deal for about a week.
As
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
He opens his mouth, but the words won't come out. He's choking half. Everybody's choking now.
Devek.
Ramaswamy.
Cease and desist. Who would be worse? Mike Pence. I mean, Ron DeSantis trying to rap also would be wildly cringy.
Ron DeSantis trying to feel feelings is weird enough. I couldn't imagine rapping.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. A mix of clouds and sun this afternoon with a high of 78. Winds out of the south, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected tonight. Chance for scattered thunderstorms. Lows level off around 56. Scattered thunderstorms again tomorrow. Highs level off around 71. Cloudy skies. Upper 60s Saturday, turning cooler on Sunday with highs in the upper 60s. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 56.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. 4 to 6, the Devil's Advocates with Tom and Crude. Then at 6, the Maggie Dawn Show. WLAK.
Meet you downstairs.
Yeah, welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. 21 minutes after 9 o'clock right now. And Amy Winehouse, You Know I'm No Good, born on this date in 1983, passed away 2011 at the age of 27. It seems to be an age that many singers, musicians pass away at over the years. Look that up if you haven't ever checked that out before, but the list is long of popular singers and musicians that passed away at that age of 27. Hey, welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. We've got 48 degrees in Eau Claire right now and 49 in Hayward. And just before the break, we were discussing this story from the Journal Sentinel about what's going on at the Trempealeau Lakes. And there is a group called the Friends of Trempealeau Lakes. They're trying to figure out a way to clean these lakes up. And as we mentioned, the lakes, the three lakes there, are covered in algae so thick that people say you can walk your dog across the lake. And in this story, they actually have pictures of frogs, or a picture of a frog sitting on top of the lake on top of the algae. So it's definitely thick enough to support the weight of the frog, and it makes it difficult for people that want to use the lakes for fishing and for recreating, as they say. Getting back to the story in the Journal Sentinel, it says here, the Friends of the Lakes, of Lake Trempealeau's, the Friends of the Lake will try to figure out how to address the problems, helping farmers find resources that can both help them stay profitable and lessen their environmental impact. Reducing nitrogen alone could have a big impact, Giblin explained, because curtailing one nutrient that leads to algae growth will slow its overall growth entirely. If the effort works, it could serve as a template for other environmental and agricultural partnerships across the state. Hams hopes that because the number of farmers involved is relatively small, they'll be able to find common ground and work together. Quote, this isn't something we're going to have solved by next year. This is a change of practice that will take some years to really see results, Hams said. But if we don't get started, we'll never be successful, end quote. In the meantime, the group has other plans, too. They want to raise enough money to conduct a small dredging project in Second Lake, deepening the lake bottom about 9 feet near a fishing float to provide better habitat for the fish. That would also slow the proliferation of curly leaf pondweed, an invasive species that needs access to sunlight to feed its explosive growth. Their work will dovetail with an upcoming project by Trempealeau County's Department of Land Management, which received a roughly $11,000 grant from the DNR to develop a management plan for First and Second Lakes. The department will be able to assess the lake's historical water quality and identify problems and threats to the ecosystem, said Director Mike Kornman. Kornman said having a nonprofit group advocating for the health of the lakes could be a boon, particularly if they're able to engage everyone that uses, impacts, and cares about them. Giblin is also optimistic that their approach can work. Quote, it's uplifting to see people band together to protect something. They recognize their communities really tied to these regionally important lakes, and they're doing something about it, he said. I think they're going to be really successful. That piece by Madeline Heim in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel discussing the issue that's going on with the Trempealeau Lakes. And by the way, I should mention that this reporter, Madeline Heim, is a Report for America Corps reporter who writes about environmental issues in the Mississippi River watershed and across Wisconsin. And this Report for America Corps is an important organization putting reporters around the country, different locations, to help out with local journalism, which is one of the most important things that we can do to keep up on what's going on. Got 27 minutes after 9 o'clock right now. Going to take a break. Stick around. You're tuned into your local Civic Media radio station.
Summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. 1215, Town Call. 1 p.m., The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn directs WLAK.
ABC News, I'm Justin Finch. Midnight tonight, the deadline for the United Auto Workers and Detroit's Big Three automakers to get a deal or a strike. The UAW wants pay increases, pensions, and benefits for new hires, and a four-day work week. The automakers say they're in a financial bind. Pennsylvania prison escapee Danilo Cavalcante back behind bars after finally being captured Wednesday after 13 days on the run.
They think he was in the creek over there, you know, hanging out on Sunday night. That was freaky. Yeah, really freaky.
Neighbor Sarah Black in Chester County, Pennsylvania, where Cavalcante was finally caught. Meantime, there's another escapee who's still on the run in the Washington, D.C. area. 30-year-old Christopher Haynes taking off a week ago from police custody at George Washington University Hospital. He had been arrested on murder charges for an August shooting in the district. This is ABC News.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. Pedestrian crashes in Wisconsin are on the rise. A report by the Governor's Highway Safety Association shows fatal crashes grew by 50% in 2022, in line with the national trend of increases in fatal pedestrian crashes. According to nationwide data, 7,500 pedestrians were killed after being hit by a car last year, which is the most in over 40 years. Drivers and pedestrians are reminded to follow right-of-way laws, and municipalities are exploring options like rectangular rapid flashing beacons to improve safety. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is reminding hunters that deer season begins this weekend with the opening of archery and crossbow seasons. The two seasons run through either January 7th or January 31st, depending on the county, and all harvested deer must be registered by 5 p.m. the day after the deer is recovered. The DNR is also reminding hunters to practice proper safety, like wearing safety harnesses in tree stands and using a haul line to bring unloaded weapons to the stand. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
The Todd Alba Show.
Two kinds of politicians, those who want to be and those who want to do. Tommy Thompson, John McCain, I would put Tony Evers in this category. They're guys who are running because there were things that they wanted to do.
The Todd Alba Show.
Now contrast that to Hillary Clinton, I would argue, or Donald Trump. Sure, there are things they want to do, but ultimately, they are like Scott Walker. They were people who want to be.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Red Delicious, Honey Crisp, Granny Smith. If you have a favorite apple, now is the time to pick it straight from the source. Did you know Wisconsin has more than 300 apple orchards? Travel Wisconsin recently naming its favorites, including the Oneida National Apple Orchard outside Green Bay, Ferguson's Orchards in Eau Claire, and Apple Holler south of Racine. Many provide tons of family fun in the fall, too. Tire swings, lawn bowling, hay rides, and more. Apple experts suggest if you want to pick yours fresh, do it before the end of October. For Civic Media,
The Cripes Cast with Charlie Behrens.
Today, I am talking to the owner of Funky Fresh Spring Rolls, my friend Truman McGee. From an environmentally friendly perspective, yeah, the fact that it's frozen means that it's not going to waste.
I am a cereal strawberry abuser. If you're a fruit and you're watching this, stay away from me, okay? Do not jump in my shopping cart because I will let you die.
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Loud as thunder.
like I'm Marlon Brando. When I look at my China girl, I could pretend nothing really meant too much. When I look at my China girl,
is China Girl 937. Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. And I wanted to play that song because it was on this date in 1984 at the very first MTV Video Music Awards that David Bowie won Video of the Year for the video for that song, China Girl, a song he actually co-wrote with Iggy Pop. And Iggy recorded it several years earlier, I think around 1977. Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. We've got 53 degrees in La Crosse right now and 44 degrees in Richland Center. And one thing we've been discussing today and oftentimes during this program is gerrymandering, right? We know that our state, Wisconsin, has among the most gerrymandered maps in the entire United States. That's why Republicans have such a grip on power in our states, even though Democrats receive more votes when it comes to state assembly. And one of the other states that has a serious gerrymandering issue is the state of Alabama. I have a story here from The Nation at thenation.com by Ellie Mistall, and he says that the future of the Voting Rights Act depends on Brett Kavanaugh. A new effort by Alabama to gut the Voting Rights Act was clearly inspired by a recent Brett Kavanaugh opinion. Now, the state of Alabama is appealing to the Supreme Court and Kavanaugh to help seal the deal. I'll give you a little bit of this so you understand what's going on in other areas around the country. This is by Ellie Mistall. He says, I regret to inform you that the future of the Voting Rights Act and the immediate question of whether southern states can gerrymander away the political power of Black citizens now rests squarely on the shoulders of alleged attempted rapist Brett Kavanaugh. That's because the state of Alabama's latest attempt to defy the 15th Amendment and the Supreme Court's own rulings is inspired by a decision Kavanaugh wrote that explicitly asked for plaintiffs to file a case that could help him kill the Voting Rights Act once and for all. At issue are Alabama's congressional district maps, which are, once again, racist. Alabama is about 26% Black. That makes it the fifth blackest, in quotation marks, state as measured by percentage of population. The state has seven congressional seats, which suggests that two of the seven seats, or about 28%, should be majority Black. But the state legislature redrew its congressional maps after the 2020 census and produced only one majority Black district. They did this by cracking and packing, right? That's the same way that the Republicans in Wisconsin got to such a gerrymandered map, cracking and packing. They did this by cracking and packing the Black people in the state. That is, by throwing as many Black residents as they could into one district and then splitting up the rest so their voices would be drowned out in majority white districts. In 2021, a federal court ruled that Alabama's maps constituted an unconstitutional racial gerrymander. But after an emergency appeal to the Supreme Court, five of the conservative justices allowed the state to use those maps pending a full hearing by the court. Kavanaugh explained his vote by claiming that by the time the case got to the Supreme Court in February 2022, it would already be too close to the midterm elections in November of 2022 for the courts to do anything about it. One racist election cycle later, the Supreme Court ruled in June of this year that Alabama's maps were an unconstitutional racial gerrymander in violation of Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act and ordered the state to redraw its maps. The decision overturning Alabama's maps was 5-4. Chief Justice John Roberts joined the three liberals against Alabama, marking the first time that Roberts has ruled in favor of the Voting Rights Act in his entire time on the Supreme Court. The fifth vote was Kavanaugh's. Kavanaugh joined the majority opinion, but wrote separately to shop for a different case. He said that he would entertain an argument that Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act should not be extended indefinitely into the future, essentially arguing that racism has been defeated and thus the Voting Rights Act is no longer necessary. He said, however, that the people defending Alabama's maps didn't make that argument, so there was nothing he could do. His concurrence had all of the subtlety of a king pining for the assassination of Thomas Beckett or Mike Pence. At the time, I wrote, again, this piece is by Ellie Mistal, I wrote that Kavanaugh will one day use just such a case to declare victory over racism. Victory over racism. It's just a question of when. The Republicans of Alabama have taken Kavanaugh's opinion as an invitation to openly defy the Supreme Court's order. Alabama technically redrew its maps, but didn't make a second majority-minority district or anything close to it. Instead, it took one district that was 30% Black and made it 40% Black and called it a day. state is not even pretending to heed the Supreme Court's ruling. Alabama Governor Kay Ivey, who signed the new maps into law, said, quote, "The legislature knows our state, our people, and our districts better than the federal courts or activist groups," end quote. I'm sure if Alabama could figure out a way to draw a majority white district in the shape of a middle finger, they would. Alabama's new maps were ruled unconstitutional this September by a federal district court, this time in a scathing 217-page unanimous decision, which called out the state for its open defiance of a Supreme Court order. The district court appointed a special master to redraw the maps for Alabama. Since the state legislature seems unwilling to comply with the law, predictably, Alabama has appealed the ruling to the Supreme Court, which has not decided as of this writing, and this was written or posted today, September 14th, on whether to hear the case. If the case does hear, or I should say, if the court does hear the appeal, and to be clear, the court should not. It should simply let the ruling of the lower court stand instead of rewarding Alabama's petulance with another hearing. If the court does not hear the appeal, I'm not worried about John Roberts changing his vote. Famous last words, I know, but I have evidence for this. In 2016, the Supreme Court struck down a Texas law that severely limited access to abortions, back in the before times when pregnant people had constitutional rights. Roberts, a forced birth advocate, dissented from that opinion. Fast forward to 2020, and Louisiana was in front of the Supreme Court with essentially the same law the court struck down in 2016. All that had changed was that Anthony Kennedy, who was in the majority in 2016, had been replaced by Brett Kavanaugh. Kavanaugh did as expected and voted against abortion access, but Roberts flipped his vote and thus preserved abortion access. It's not that Roberts changed his mind about the underlying issue. It's that Roberts really didn't like the states defying a Supreme Court order. Roberts knows that states treating Supreme Court rulings as mere suggestions is bad for his business. Brett Kavanaugh is a different problem altogether. First of all, Alabama is making the argument that it must finalize its congressional maps by early October of this year in order to be ready for the 2024 federal elections. That is a ridiculous and arbitrary timeline, but one artificially created to suggest that there's no time to redraw the maps. Considering that Brett Kavanaugh has already allowed Alabama to use unconstitutionally racist maps for one election because he thought we were too close to voting season, there's every chance he'll do so again. But
the 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline is here and ready to help anyone experiencing a suicidal, mental health, or substance use crisis. Call, text, or chat 988 to get connected to a trained Lifeline counselor. 988, here to support you. Sponsored by Wisconsin DHS.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Yeah. Todd Albo would normally be sharing his dulcet tones with us, but you'll recall that last week, Todd was having issues with the cable company, with an internet connection. I'm now thinking, Todd Albo, did you break Spectrum? Are you responsible for this ESPN mess?
I seem to broke everything else, so it wouldn't surprise me, no.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings, 6 till 8. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
It's never personal, only politics. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show with Dom and Crute. Weekdays from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast. A mix of clouds and sun this afternoon with a high of 78. Winds out of the south, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected tonight. Chance for scattered thunderstorms. Lows level off around 56. Scattered thunderstorms again tomorrow. Highs level off around 71. Cloudy skies. Upper 60s Saturday, turning cooler on Sunday with highs in the upper 60s. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 57.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. Beginning at 6, Up North News. Then at 8, Stu Daniels on Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show, 9:53 and a half right now. We've got 55 degrees in La Crosse, and it's 47 degrees in Richland Center. And just before the break, we were discussing this story from The Nation by Ellie Mistal about another state that's dealing with some serious gerrymandering issues, just like we are here in Wisconsin. And the state is Alabama. And this story with a headline that says, "The future of the Voting Rights Act depends on dot, 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 Brett Kavanaugh." a new effort by Alabama to gut the Voting Rights Act, was clearly inspired by a recent Brett Kavanaugh opinion. Now the state is appealing to the Supreme Court and Kavanaugh to help seal the deal. And we're almost to the end of the story here. I just want to give you the remainder of this. And it says here, the question now is simply whether Brett Kavanaugh wants to kill the Voting Rights Act with this argument in a case where the state is in open revolt against a court order, or does he want to wait until some other state does the exact same thing without the stench of having previously lost the argument? A patient Supreme Court justice would realize they have a lifetime to do their work and wait for a case that wasn't brought with such obvious bad faith. But this is Brett Kavanaugh we're talking about, a man who has already shown he lacks the emotional temperament to be entrusted with lifetime power on the highest court in the land. One thing I've learned about racist white Southerners with political power: they never take electoral, constitutional, or military defeat as the end of the argument. The cause is never lost. They will defy, always, whatever rules or orders are in place that force them to chew with their mouths closed and be less racist. The question is always whether other white people will let them get away with it. Right now, that other white person is Brett freaking Kavanaugh. It's like finding out that the drunk driver who hit you is also the surgeon assigned to patch you up after the crash. That piece in The Nation from Ellie Mistall, The Nation's justice correspondent and host of its legal podcast called Contempt of Court. He's also a best-selling author, writing a book called Allow Me to Retort, A Black Guy's Guide to the Constitution. And it'll be interesting to see what happens not only in Alabama, but here in our state as well, with these gerrymandered maps, now that Robin Voss says, oh, we want to have an independent group, a nonpartisan group, draw the new maps. Well, there's already two cases heading to our Supreme Court. Let's see what happens there. And we may have some updates on the maps as the day goes on, so make sure you stay tuned to your local civic media radio station. And we've run out of time for today. I want to thank you for tuning in. Hope you have a great day today. Do something nice for someone, and I'll see you tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock. The journey was long. They sacrificed and they paid the price. And I know this is where I belong. This is my home. This is where I belong. La la, la la, la 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 la, la la la.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done,
over and over and over and over and over,
then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
You're listening to WLAK 1260 AM Amory and WBZH 910 AM W245 CT Hayward.
Always streaming on the Civic
ABC
Media
News
app.
ABC News, I'm Jim.